$14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy. And Dr. Cuddy has taught at the university level. He has certainly testified before Congress. He worked within the Reagan administration, the Department of Education. But, of course, he is best known for his research and the books he's written. And, unfortunately, many of them are out of print. We do have a couple of them, though. And, of course, we have, of course, his timeline for the New World Order, the education timeline for New World Order. We have his books on mental health. And, of course, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 and get a list of Dr. Cuddy's other books. Well, right now, of course, we're going to be talking, though, about an article that Dr. Cuddy has written just this week. It's posted on News Reviews, and it's called How Do They Know? How Do They Know? Dennis, thank you so very much for being with us.
Having me.
Well, why don't we just get right down to how do they know? What are you speaking of?
Well, it seems that though over the years there have been a number of people who had these amazing predictions, and I go through this, and my basic conclusion is most of them are not simply wild guesses that they made by accident. But that the odds of you actually correctly guessing at something 80 years into the future are practically impossible. And so it really seems to me there has to be some sort of plan that's being followed, and the individuals that I call the power elite or their agents operating for them actually are divulging this plan as it unfolds.
Absolutely. In fact, we see that as you begin reading these material, whether it be certainly the wonderful book that was written, really telling about, looking backwards, Edward Bellamy. And back in 1881 or 82, he was talking about how, in the future, a credit card will be just as good in Europe as gold once was. He anticipated in 1881 or 1882 that credit cards would be there, and you'd be able to buy then in the future just exactly as they used gold for. He knew exactly what the future held.
Right, and I just give a few examples in this. There's another one that I didn't include, but those who are familiar with H.G. Wells know that around the year 1900, one of his books was talking about a nuclear device, a nuclear bomb, and this is far before Einstein and the rest of those people and had actually developed the theory, much less the actual bomb. So these things aren't just wild guesses, is what I'm saying in this article. But I begin it, and as I often do some of my articles, with a contemporary note, and that note I hope will prompt some people, some of your listeners, to wonder about the possible connection between the flu vaccine and Alzheimer's. I've requested librarians to look for information, for articles about this study. They can't find it. I contacted one of the four hospitals involved. One of the neurologists finally responded that he didn't have anything to do with it. But apparently there was a study some years ago by three individuals, Dr. Feudenberg, Christoph, and Anderson, who did a very extensive study showing a possible linkage here that apparently has not been pursued and the press has clamped the lid on.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
This is George Whitehurst Berry, your host for Crash. Are you ready?
I, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, I do hereby indict you, Dr. Peter Duesberg, for the deaths of millions of people worldwide through your role in the creation of AIDS.
Dr. Peter Duesberg, are you a mass murderer?
I'm afraid I'm not quite that powerful. I think Dr. Horowitz must have seen Dr. Strangelove once too many times. The retroviruses are the most harmless viruses that we know.
This is George Whitehurst Berry, your host for Crash, Are You Ready? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the most controversial program on the Genesis Communications Network. Find out why. Visit our website at www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
In this age of advanced electronics, we have many new amazing technologies. Smartphones, intelligent credit cards, even cars that talk and park themselves. In 2004, John Wright Laboratories perfected the technology known as the Rife machine. The new JW Labs Model A is a compact, solid-state, battery-powered personal therapy device that's in a class by itself. Larger than a cell phone, smaller than a CD player, the Model A has power and accuracy that exceeds anything else that's available at any price, even for top professionals. Use it just 5 minutes as part of your daily hygiene to give you the edge against any past, present, or future pathogen with 99% reliability. Use it to gain control of the most serious forms of disease. The Model A comes with everything you need to get started, along with unlimited customer service and a lifetime replacement warranty. Act now, because the future is here today. Call 888-891-1122. That's 888-891-1122. Or visit jwlabs.com. That's jwlabs.com today.
Here with, well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Dr. Cuddy is talking about Dr. Feudenberg's work, Dr. Feudenberg and his work, where he and another physicians oversaw a study that was done some years ago, where of course people were given the influenza vaccine, matched groups. One group got the influenza vaccine, the other didn't. They were 60 to 65. They got four or five shots over a five-year period. And 10 years down the line, 1,000% in Alzheimer's disease among those who'd taken the influenza vaccine. Well, you would think that that might cause at least some furor. They could challenge it. They could say it isn't true. But instead of, debating the issue, because, of course, they do not want the public to know. They do not want the elderly to know that they got 1,000% chance of getting, the Alzheimer's disease if they do what their doctor tells them to do, what the CDC and the U.S. Public Health Service tells them to do. Instead of telling the people that there is a controversy, it has gotten a conspiracy of silence, almost as if perhaps they were unconcerned about the incidence of Alzheimer's disease, because you really don't have to worry too much. The people die very, very soon after they come down with the disease. You don't have to worry if you believe that there are too many people in the world. Maybe they're unconcerned about the death and suffering associated with this terrible, terrible disease. But why is the media not addressed this, Dr. Cuddy? That's the question.
Exactly. And just before the break, I was saying that some people's reaction to Dr. Hudenberg is, well, he's a brilliant scientist, but he makes some controversial statements such as this possible association. And what I wanted to stress in pointing out this note is that he's not alone. I mean, it's not like he's out there and absolutely nobody else. This abstract for this study was by three individuals, one named Anderson, another one, Dr. Nicholas Kristof, who's also an often quoted pediatric neurologist who I think he was in Texas last, but he was at this time, he had been practicing medicine at Mount Sinai School of Medicine and City University of New York. So this isn't just one lone individual. And this study indicates that there were four cities. They were chosen for a specific reason. One was in Palo Alto, the Stanford Medical School. Then at Bethesda, the National Institutes of Health was involved in that one. Madison, Wisconsin, that was the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine, and then Evanston, Illinois. And that was chosen because they had at least four neurologists there, and it was neurologists who were going to recruit subjects and take this study. And those people who want to read the note, they can read it, but as you'll see, it was very high level. It wasn't just, you know, you've got Alzheimer's, what do you think this came from? It wasn't like that at all. It was a specific age group. It was a double-blind study. They were chosen based on particular categories. They had each of the neurologists, four at four different institutions, have very rigorous exams. There's the Fulstein-Hopkins mini-mental exam and so forth, and without, you know, going into the what your listeners may consider boring details, jumping right to the end, you basically had 880 subjects, and they were asked at the end of 5 years to return, and 800 of them did, which is really rather remarkable for anything, any survey, keeping up with any group of people. 800 out of 880 is pretty good. And they were matched by pairs, age, sex, years of college, you know, profession, and so on. And the bottom line is that on these exams, what happened was in the vaccine group, 88 of those 800 who showed up again out of the 880 had dropped below 20. The score of 30 is 100%. Below 20, that's 12 to 19. Whereas in the placebo group, that's those who did not receive the flu vaccine, there were only 8 individuals in that category. So, in other words, as you said, 1,000% or 11 times the number of people who had the flu vaccine compared to the placebo had a dramatic decline in their mini mental exam scores. Now, surely, such a dramatic change would prompt any curious person, including those in the press, to look at this possible connection between the flu vaccine and Alzheimer's, but there seems to be a press blackout on this thing.
And of course, as for many things that you will never hear discussed, and I would just give as an example of that last evening in the House of Representatives, by an overwhelming majority, there was actually a vote for the impeachment of the president to actually refer the effort to hearings for impeachment of President Bush to committee so that it could begin holding hearings on the impeachment of the President of the United States. Now, you would think that would be frontline news in every newspaper, on every television set program, across America. And not a word of it today. In fact, I couldn't even find it up on the Internet. We had to talk to Senator Kucinich's office today. And, of course, one of my friends actually has a C-SPAN copy of the hearings there. And, of course, what happened was they voted by an overwhelming majority for the at least begin the hearings, the first step towards the impeachment of the President of the United States. And the people who control the media have seen fit to actually suppress that information because, of course, it's so important we talk about Britney Spears. But go ahead. Go ahead, Dennis.
Okay, and then I, after the note, get to the main body of this, how do they know, and just give a few examples, as Dr. Stan mentioned. There are others, Edward Bellamy's book, as I mentioned, another one, H.G. Wells, and there are others. But I wanted to give sort of a timeline and give an example of one that reached far into the future at the very end of it. And I wanted to portray this over a long period of time. So it isn't like, well, this thing's just been going on recently. So I start with the 1792 article that Philip Freneau wrote in a periodical called American Museum. And what he was basically explaining was that the power elite has been around for centuries. They didn't like this upstart young independent republic, the United States, coming about, and they developed a plan to regain control. And in previous articles, I've mentioned about how the Civil War was basically an outgrowth of that, and our minister to Austria found out about it and explained it in an 1861 letter, and so forth and so on. But the reason I start with Freneau is that he explained in great detail that what you would have is, and he laid out how we would have wars which we would deliberately lose and so forth. But in terms of the general thrust, what they would do is create what they called the general welfare. And if somebody argued against them, said, oh, these bad people are trying to have this conspiracy, then they would portray that person as being against the general welfare. And that's what socialism actually tries to achieve. And their goal was, this power elite, was to eventually have the antithesis, which they developed, Marxism to capitalism, communism, antithesis to capitalism, so that they could have this dialectical synthesis in the end of socialism in the U.S. and then globally, a world socialist government. And then I give after that the example of Alexis de Tocqueville in 1840. He wrote a book, Democracy in America, where he sort of pursued this in a psychological sense, what would happen to the people. And the people would be, as he said, quote, reduced to nothing better than a flock of timid and industrious animals.
This was about 1840, wasn't it?
That's right.
Right.
And the power elite would really manipulate individuals so that they would be in that state of mind willingly. This is, you know, pre-Edward Bellamy, pre-George Orwell, pre-Aldous Huxley and all these. So in Democracy in America, de Tocqueville is already writing about this. So this thing's been going on a long time, and recently, when people talk about this grand plan of the power elite, they refer to it as the New World Order. So I thought it would be of interest to see where that term originally came from, best I could tell. The first book, I think, was in 1919 by Samuel Zane Batten, published by, of all places, the American Baptist Publishing Company, where he's arguing for this world government and so on. But the term was first used, best I can tell, by a P.J. Bailey in a book he had, Festus. It went through several editions, but in there he wrote, Ye, they talk that way, ye are all nations, I a single soul, yet shall this new world order outlast all. And that's really the heart of it. You know, you might have these nations, the U.S., England, Germany, whatever, but the new world order will outlast all of them. In the end, that's what you'll have, this sort of global order that they had planned for.
Well, of course, we know that Alice Bailey, of course, wrote a number of books that were channeled to her by a demonic spirit called Joao Cool, and she wrote over 20 books. She was really very prominent during the first half of the last century. Most Americans today have never heard of Alice Bailey, but, of course, her organization that she left to us, the Lucius Trust, used to be the Lucifer Publishing House, is still there. You can go to their website at lucistrust.org. But, of course, this demonic spirit channeled a book in which Alice Bailey wrote about a points of light. Points of light, that term, of course, popularized by George W. Herbert Walker Bush, and the New World Order, which was also popularized by George Herbert Walker Bush. And you can't help but wonder why he would use these terms that ever came from Alice Bailey's work and writings.
Right. And so it's interesting to put these together. People have pretty well understood that, yes, there's this plan for a global government. And, yes, we heard George Herbert Walker Bush talk about points of light. But I thought it would be interesting, as I said, to find out the first use, and best I can tell, is 1848, where this world government is actually referred to as a new world order specifically. I mean, we have Novus Ordo, Seclorum, and so forth, but and in this sense, it's the first time, at least that I can find, that that is used as the term for a world government will actually come about and outlast individual nations.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Dennis Cuddy. What is taking place has been planned for a long time, but we're living during the culmination of history.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Warning! The EPA states indoor air pollution is the number one health problem today, causing 50% of all illnesses. Go to germfree33.com. Technology developed for NASA is now available to protect your family and health. Laboratory proven to eliminate 99.9% of deadly MRSA, black mold, E. coli, bird flu, and more from all surfaces. germfree33.com. Remove pollen, mold, pet dander, dust mites, and more from the air. germfree33.com. World's best air purifiers. Nothing else compares. germfree33.com. No expensive filters to replace. Covers 3,000 square feet. See the proof at germfree33.com. Order from our secure website. Credit cards accepted. Order by phone. 800-492-1073. Payment plans available. 800-492-1073. germfree33.com. The world's best air purifiers.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? Tebow Tech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, Tebow Tech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The Tebow Tech Essentials package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of Tebow Tech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TebowTech.com. That's T-B-O-T-E-C-H.com.
Just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dennis is giving some of the ideas, some of the things that have happened that suggest that there is foreknowledge. Some people know exactly what's going to happen. He talks about a gentleman writing in 1910, telling the people that, of course, that the President, that Woodrow Wilson would be elected governor of the state of New York, and then, but he would not complete his term. He would be elected president in 1912, and then he would be reelected in 1916. How could he have known that in 1910? I had a similar experience. I at one time belonged to a very exclusive group of Christian and conservative leaders, and there was a gentleman who got up. His name is Jack Wheeler, and you can look him up on the Internet. And sometimes several years before the Berlin Wall came down, he got up before that group and said, the Berlin Wall is coming down. He said, America's going to win the Cold War. And it was all decided ahead of time, and sure enough, a couple of years later, everything that Jack Wheeler had predicted, of course, it came to pass, because he had associations with all sorts of our intelligence agencies and the key people in the world. They knew ahead of time what was going to happen, and I'm sure Dr. Cuddy can give you example after example after example of that. Everything, of course, is preordained, except they don't tell us common folks ordinarily, only for the elite. And, of course, this group that I was speaking of is a very, very elite group. I left it because let's put it this way, I did leave it voluntarily. Go right ahead.
Okay. What I want to stress about that 1910 is somebody will say, oh, well, you know, so what? He says somebody's going to be a president. What you have to remember is... there's 50 states. Woodrow Wilson was simply the president of Princeton University. He was basically a, I don't want to say nobody, but, you know, he wasn't any more important than the president of Harvard or anywhere else. And he's running for governor of New Jersey. In 1910, it's not like 1912, where he's the Democratic chosen candidate already. In 1910, he's just going to be elected governor of New Jersey. So basically, he's talking about this university president who's going to be president of the U.S., and he's one out of 50. And it's not like today, if somebody 2 years ago said, I predict that John McCain will be president. I mean, you know, McCain's a known person, known quantity. He's campaigned before. This is not that case. This is a university president in 1910. That he's talking about going to be raised to this pinnacle of power in the U.S.
And, of course, what's so interesting is the way they got Woodrow Wilson elected was to get Teddy Roosevelt into running again on the Bull Moose Party and a third party to pull enough votes away from Taft so that Wilson could win. It was all staged. And, of course, once Roosevelt came into the race, after it pulled away enough potential votes, then, of course, they dumped him because they wanted Woodrow Wilson to be the president, exactly as they said. Ross Perot, of course, gave the election there in 1988 to Bill Clinton, in 1992 to Bill Clinton by pulling votes away from George Bush. But go right ahead.
Sure. It's a replay, 1992 of the campaign of 1912. In this case, what I'm trying to impress is that they don't just sit around and say, oh, let's see, how about this guy? These people are prepared way in advance. And so in my book, The Globalist, I try to put a lot comparatively, because I have like four or five entries per page in that book, I put like a full page plus about Theodore Marburg. And your listeners are saying, Theodore who? But Marburg is in the late 1800s. This guy is the guiding mentor, philosophical mentor of Woodrow Wilson. And I put his quotes where he's laying out this whole plan for the future. And so Wilson is mentored by this fellow's philosophy. And so it's not like they're looking around in 1910 or 12 for somebody. It doesn't work like that. They develop these people over many, many years. And in my books and articles, I put how in 1904, one of these muckrakers, the investigative reporter of the day, is looking at people, and he looks at not John D. Rockefeller, but his right-hand man, Henry Watson. And so he does a really thorough job of looking into this. And what he finds out is that there are Rockefeller agents, as he says, in every hamlet of the land. Now think about that. That's not just like in New York City and Chicago and Philadelphia. You know, that means in small town USA. Well, back in 1904.
And I think there probably still are people very, very close. I've talked to some of the people. It's almost like they have a worship of David Rockefeller today. I mean, just a total adoration of this man who has openly admitted that he has no loyalty to America. He's working as part of a secret cabal to create a new international order. And if you doubt that, you need to get his book. We carry it, page 405. We'll be right back with Dr. Dennis Cuddy right here at Radio Liberty.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Oh, what a beautiful day for the beach. Look, up there in the sky, it's Nonex Man. He's in a dive.
He must have found some ugly toenails on the beach.
Let's go look.
I'm Nonex Man, and your toenails need Nonex Nail Gel. Stop hiding them in the sand. Take them out. Let's see them.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't worry. Now there's Nonex Nail Gel. Use it on your toenails regularly, and they'll look fantastic in sandals.
Oh, I will, Nonex Man.
Great. Well, I'm off to find more ugly toenails.
Don't let Nonex Man find you with unsightly toenails. Buy diabetic-friendly, money-back guaranteed Nonex Nail Gel. It's in the foot care aisle at Supercenters, Walgreens, CVS, Long's, Meijer, Giant Eagle, Car Drug, Snyder's, Duane Reade, Philo, and Rite Aid.
Here I am at a gathering of friends, minding my own business, when one of our buddies, Bob, walks up to me, very concerned, and he says, "Wow, have you seen the gasoline prices lately?" And I said, "Oh, of course. Woo, they're high." He says, "Yeah." He says, "What am I going to do? I've got a truck. There's no way anybody's going to buy my truck in this market. I really need the truck for my job. It uses more gas than I can afford. I've got to find a way to come up with some extra money. I got a wife with four kids at home. I don't know what to do." I said, "Bob, relax. I know what to do. Call eFoodsDirect.com or go up on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. They will deliver food, really good, high-quality, nutritional, delicious food to your door now, right there in front of your house, for about half the price that you were paying for groceries last year. You can take the savings from that, offset the cost of your fuel, and use it to buy more inexpensive food to hedge against tomorrow's increasing food prices. Why don't you do that, Bob?" He said, "eFoodsDirect.com." I said, "Yep, call them at 1-800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. Do it now.
Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is, of course, Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Dennis, are you on a regular hard line? We seem to get a little static here.
Pardon?
Are you on a regular hard line telephone?
Yes.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, of course, before we go on, I just want to mention that you can find Dr. Dennis Cuddy's articles at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com, and you'll find a new one there. Those articles are well worthwhile pulling down and certainly a filing away. We do have several books. We have a book on mental health, the first one, very, very short, that's more of a pamphlet, parts 1-5, and then we have two other books on mental health that Dr. Cuddy has written and published here. It gives you the background of this movement for mind control in America. Go ahead and pick up the story there, Dennis.
Okay, so anyway, the point is, these individuals like Woodrow Wilson or, you know, FDR, whoever, they're groomed way in advance, selected, and then they rise like this little garden. And so the paralete has this little garden, and they'll, you know, have various candidates for the Democratic and Republican Party running, and they're not by accident. They've been selected far in advance. And so regarding not just politics, but global events, in the case of World War One, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, in 1908, there's this leading political economist who says the most fearful war of the century is coming soon. Now, that's going to be six years in advance. As we move closer to the event, you have the Montreal Gazette on September 11th of 1912. This is 1912, September, that's an important date, September 11th, 1912, is stating, and this person is the Baha'i leader, Abdul Baha, head of the Baha'i faith. He says, the time is less than 2 years hence when a tiny spark will set the world, set ablaze the world. He's talking about a world war. Now remember, he's not just saying, you know, I think there's trouble coming, or, you know, within the next 10 years there will be. No, he specifically says is less than 2 years hence.
And if I could just comment, you mentioned the article in the American Journal of History. Actually, that article is actually included in our syllabus on Iraq, the Untold Story, which, of course, is a summary of all the wars. But if you want to read it, here, written many years before the First World War begins, I think about 1908, and the First World War begins 6 years later, they're talking about the war that's coming, and, of course, after that would come the United Nations. Go right ahead.
Okay, and so in 1912, in September, the Baha'i leader, now remember, the Baha'i began in roughly the mid-1800s, and at that time, the head of the Baha'i faith was talking about we need a world government, world religion, so on. So here we come on up, and we're in 1912, in September 11, and he's saying less than 2 years from now, there'll be a world war. Not in the future, you know, in the near future, within 5 years. He's very specific, less than 2 years hence. And, of course, World War One, as your listeners may recall, began in the summer of 1914. That's just less than 2 years from the September 11, 1912 prediction that Abdu'l-Bahá made. Now, during the war, if you get very specific, what you have is British King George. And it's 11:30 a.m. in the morning, May 7, 1915. And at Buckingham Palace, is Colonel House at the time, who's Woodrow Wilson's chief advisor. And King George says to him sort of offhandedly, quote, suppose Germany should sink the Lusitania with American passengers on board, end quote. And Colonel House says, uh-huh. And roughly 2 to 3 hours later, Germany did exactly that. Now, remember, the Lusitania has been going back and forth and back and forth. It's probably the leading liner of the day. So it's not like, you know, every time the Lusitania sails, King George is saying this. But specifically at this time, 11:30, May 7th, to Wilson's chief advisor, he says, suppose Germany should sink the Lusitania with American passengers on board, and lo and behold, it happens. Now, what you got to know is that years before, Winston Churchill had been with the Admiralty, and he actually conducted a study on the possible American reaction of a liner being sunk with American passengers on board. So you have to raise an eyebrow about that. Now, prior to World War II, you have increasingly H.G. Wells talking about the future in his book The Open Conspiracy and so forth. And in one of them, in 1933, he writes The Shape of Things to Come. And again, this isn't just, you know, gee whiz, things are sort of rough, and maybe down the road, who knows, we hope not, there'll be a Second World War, and why, yeah, I don't know. He doesn't say that. It's 1933, and he's predicting that in about 6 years, around 1939, there will be a Second World War, and it will originate from a German-Polish dispute. And I know they invaded, you know, the Sudetenland and Czechoslovakia, but the actual war, meaning British entry and creating the World War, was over that particular move by Hitler over the crossing into Poland. Now, how could he also, this is Wells, H.G. Wells, same book, predict that the, quote, modern world state, now remember this is 1933, his book, The New World Order, comes about 6 years later, 1939. At this time, he's calling it the modern world state. 40 years earlier, 1901, in a book called Anticipations, he called it the New Republic. So he's changing the names here. At this time, he says the modern world state, he means a world government, would succeed on its third attempt, not second attempt, not the League of Nations, and then UN, because he knows the UN's going to fail. That's part of the plan. But on the third attempt, it would succeed around 50 years or so later, coming out of a conference in Basra, Iraq. Not Baghdad, not London, not Moscow, not Paris, not Washington, but Basra, Iraq. And so you get an idea of why Basra is really, really important today. And the British were pretty much in control till recently of that town. The U.S. was everywhere elsewhere, but the British, as in Cecil Rhodes and the plan for the world government, is connected to this. And that's why Basra is really critical to this overall plan. Now, getting very, very close to our entry, the U.S. entry into World War II, I ask, how could Sir Julian Huxley, he was the colonial bureau chief for the Fabian Socialists at the time, Aldous Huxley's brother, how could Sir Julian Huxley on December 5, 1941, say that he hoped America and Japan would be at war, quote, next week, not just in the future, not pretty soon, I hope, but next week? And then, of course, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor on Sunday, December 7th, the first day of the next week. So there's another question. And I give these specific examples, and then I pretty much conclude with the one that I think is probably the most impressive, and that is looking way into the future. And the example is Robert Hugh Benson in 1907 in his book called Lord of the World. How could he say that, quote, in 1917, now remember this is 1907, he's writing it, how could he say in 1917 communism really began, in other words, the date of the Russian Revolution? Then he says, after 1989, the final scheme of Western free trade began. And then there's the Release Act of 1998. With the Release Act of 98, there were ministers of euthanasia. Does the name Jack Kevorkian ring a bell? And he also, Benson also referred to the American, quote, American socialism and free trade all over the world to come. And he made, you know, many other predictions there. That would be like if I were to say this year in 2008 that in the year 2089 some specific thing was going to happen, and lo and behold, it did. I mean, how would I know that unless this is following through with some sort of long-range plan? And if you're asking, well, you know, how does Benson know that? Not too much attention has been paid to the Society for Psychical Research. And Benson's stepmother's brother, Benson was the son of Edward White Benson, the Archbishop of Canterbury. His mother died. The Archbishop remarries Mary Sidgwick, and her, Sidgwick's brother, was a founding member, Henry Sidgwick, of the Society for Psychical Research. And in case you think this is some sort of, you know, late-night weirdos with their crystal ball, that's not the case at all. This psychical research of the late 1800s had involved in it British prime ministers. Arthur Balfour was a member. William Gladstone was a member. In the U.S., you have individuals in addition to people like Lord Alfred Tennyson in England, who had written about the Federation of the World, you know, many, many years before. In 1840, and I think it was, no, it's 42, at Loxley Hall. In this country, you had members as well, William James, the father of American psychology, Mark Twain, John Dewey, Clarence Darrow, Margaret Mead, and more recently, New Ager Jean Houston, Hillary's friend. All of these people are members of this organization. And my guess is little Robert Hugh Benson was about 12 years old, roughly, at the time this society was founded. And he probably, you know, listened in on a lot of the conferences that they were having, and that's how he came to know what the future would be. It wasn't, you know, just a wild prediction. He actually was aware of some sort of planning that was occurring. And so that's several examples, including this very long-range example of what's going on. And so as you put that together with the train of events, what I say next in my article is that with the world's future planned by the Power League, it's therefore no surprise that somebody like Arthur Calhoun, in his three-volume set called The Social History of the American Family, in the third volume, which is 1919, he could describe the cradle-to-grave public education system to come in the what he called the American Socialist Commonwealth. It's no surprise that a few years after that, William Z. Foster, who was head of the American Communist Party, wrote a book called Toward Soviet America in 1932, foretelling a national, that would be Federal Department of Education. He said, with students taught, quote, internationalism and the general ethics of a new socialist society. He continues, this is Foster, quote, God will be banished from the schools, end quote. We know this happened in the early 60s. No school prayer, no Bible reading. And in 1953, picking up on that, since Foster was the head of the American Communist Party, Dr. Stans mentioned many times the Ford Foundation president, H. Roland Gaither, revealing that they were under directives from the White House, quote, to the effect that we should make every effort to so alter life in the United States as to make possible a comfortable merger with the Soviet Union, end quote. And so the Soviet Union is the playoff, like Marx and communism. You have to have the antithesis to capitalism, Western capitalism, if you're going to have the synthesis in this world socialist government to come. And this plan, as far as the Soviets were concerned, was made possible by what one of their theoreticians, his name was Dmitry Manuelsky. He revealed in a talk he gave in 1931 to the Comintern in Moscow, where he said, quote, one day in 40 years or so, we shall start to spread the most theatrical peace movement the world has ever seen. The capitalist countries, stupid and decadent, will fall into the trap offered by the possibility of making new friends, end quote. And so, just as he said, 40 years or so, you have perestroika, glasnost, and the evil empire that Reagan first mentioned regarding the Soviet Union in the mid-80s. Oh, suddenly it's all changed. We have negotiated by Carnegie and George Shultz, the State Department, what's called the Soviet-American Exchange Agreement. And, oh, there are buddies and Soviet educators come over to the U.S. and help plan some of our school's curricula. And so the dialectical materialism, which William Foster in 32 said would be taught in our schools, that will be used, and it's an ongoing process where we have these Soviet educators over here helping us with our curriculum, that will be used to condition Americans to accept this dialectical synthesis of Western capitalism and Eastern communism. As H.G. Wells said, and this, I conclude my article with this, as H.G. Wells wrote in his book, The New World Order, which he wrote in 1939, quote, we are living in the end of the sovereign states. Remember what I said about 1848 and that P.J. Bailey. This New World Order, that was his term, 1848, will outlast all nations. Wells says, we are living in the end of the sovereign states. In the great struggle to evoke a westernized world socialism, contemporary governments may vanish. Countless people will hate the New World Order, as that term, just like Bailey used in 1848, P.J. Bailey, and, Wells says, and they will die protesting against it, end quote. That's our future.
And, of course, I really think that people need to understand that this is all well planned. It's been planned for a long period of time, and it's coming to its culmination now. Of course, the First World War was fought. Why was it fought? Why was it to be the war to end all wars, the war to make the world safer democracy, and 21 million people were slaughtered and twice that many were injured. But, of course, the League of Nations did not create the world government. That's why they needed a Second World War. And when the Second World War didn't create the world government, that's why they need a Third World War. And that's why we're really over there fighting in Afghanistan and fighting in Iraq. We're not really trying to win the war. They're not giving our people the ability to win the war. If you doubt that, you need to hear my interviews with Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez. It was the American commander there for between 2003 and 2004. And it's very obvious, you hear my interviews or read his book, we weren't allowed to win the war. We're not being allowed to win the war now. But, of course, this is a prelude, I believe, to the coming Third World War. And until people understand that these things do not happen by accident. In fact, you might be interested, and you can check this out on the Internet. The Iranian government is digging 320,000 graves now at the present time, drilling 320,000 graves over there in Iran, and they're telling the Iranian people, those are for the foreign soldiers that are going to be killed, you know, invading our country. No, ladies and gentlemen, they're there for the Iranian citizens. They know that they're going to die. They want to get rid of their bodies because they could become a health hazard. This is underway at the present time. In fact, the Iraqi planes now, fighter planes are flying into, Israeli fighter planes are flying into Iraq and landing at American bases and then back to Israel and then back into Iraq. Why? Well, because it'd be much easier to attack Iran from American air bases in Iraq than flying over Iraqi Jordan or Iraq and then on into Iran. I think we're on the verge of some terrible, terrible things, and the average American has no idea. It's all planned ahead of time. Go right ahead, Dennis.
Sure. And regarding those Iranian graves, they do this, like you said, ahead of time. I remember 2 weeks before Pearl Harbor, there was an appropriation of $50,000 for a new cemetery in Hawaii. I mean, not, you know, Los Angeles, New York, or whatever. And about that term, make the world safe for democracy, actually they were telling the truth, because our founders rejected the concept of democracy as mobocracy. But if you look at what Lenin said, those individuals said democracy was a necessary stage on the way to their ultimate goal. And so actually, using a double entendre, they really were fulfilling. It was making the world safe for their plan to come about.
And I think people have to understand that our leaders always worked very closely with Lenin. If you don't believe that, you need to get our pamphlet on the capitalist communist conspiracy. The communist capitalist alliance, term used by Solzhenitsyn. We've always worked very closely together, but we could never let the American people know that, could we? Well, Dennis,
most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
He also made them happy, the power elite happy, by claiming only a world currency will work. He was even saying that back at that time. Then, of course, there was George Herbert Walker Bush with his New World Order. 1992, same thing, Rhodes Scholar Bill Clinton is for world government. I have a letter with his signature on that saying it. Then there was the alternation of power, and we have George W. Bush now. Once again, a candidate who was picked by the power elite, a puppet, and pursuing their goals with Iraq, and the trend goes on. Same thing in this election, John McCain and Barack Obama. And your listeners can look back at that my last article on News with Views and follow that line right up to today.
The more things that change, the more they remain the same. And people need to understand that what is happening today is not by accident. It's part of long-range planning. There are people that look at the world differently than you and I. They have no loyalty to America. Their loyalty, of course, to this idea of the New World Order. And behind all of this force are the powerful spirits of forces that are really running the affairs of men from behind the scenes. And unless you understand the spiritual forces, you can't understand how this thing has been going on dating back to the late 1700s, can you? Do you see that spiritual force in all of these things, Dennis?
Absolutely, and I'll touch a little bit on that next week because there's a larger plan that involves shifting our nation from a traditional biblical-based nation to what Cecil Rhodes' right-hand man, W.T. Stead, would call the, quote, civic church. Close quote.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest today has been Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and of course his material is, well, it's just priceless. Thanks so much, Dennis.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoy our conversation with Dr. Cuddy. You'll get a lot of the information in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, and we go into the Society for Psychical Research. This organization, of course, was tied and had strong occult ties and had members, some of the most powerful people in Great Britain and, of course, in the United States. In fact, it was the cadre of the Society for Psychical Research that were the very foundation of Cecil Rhodes' secret society that ultimately metastasized to America and became the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, if you'd like to get more documentation, certainly my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, the book written by Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Carol Quigley, long suppressed book. We have, along with an interview with Professor Quigley, where he tells how the book was suppressed, and you can even get the Tragedy and Hope special, which includes the book on the great tax exempt foundations, which have been financing communism since its inception. But we can't let the American people know that, can we? Because they might begin to understand this whole thing is a scam. You have to have an enemy to rally the people behind the government, to make the people willing to pay the taxes and give up their freedom to protect us from the wicked communists who are being funded by our leaders and by our corporations and by our great tax-exempt foundations. That's how the system really works. Well, the book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, Long Suppressed, is available through Radio Liberty. Another book by Professor Quigley called The Anglo-American Establishment. If you want to understand how it was that American leaders worked with Lenin and, of course, helped to establish communism, a non-viable system without constant infusions of money and wealth and technology from the West, why you need to get the book Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, written by Professor Sutton, and the sequel to that, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy. And then, of course, you'd certainly want to get my interview with Professor Sutton, entitled The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. It's a DVD. It's important that you have this information so you can explain it to others. And then, of course, one of the most significant things we have is a DVD called The World Revolution. And there has been a continuous world revolution that dates back to 1776 and is still going on today. The background of that is described in a book written by the Librarian of Congress, James H. Billington, the book we carry entitled Fire in the Minds of Men. But, of course, you'll want to see my interview with the ambassador to Cuba at the time of the Cuban Revolution, a man named Ambassador Earl Smith. And you'll find that on our DVD, The World Revolution. So let me suggest you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Why is the DVD, The World Revolution, important? Because Ambassador Smith will tell you that our leaders knew that Fidel Castro was a communist. They knew he was a communist, and they brought him to power. And, of course, as you listen to the rest of my discussion, you'll find out that David Rockefeller's daughters are close friends of Fidel Castro, that Fidel Castro has come up here to the United States, the wicked Fidel Castro, this rotten communist, this people who's murdered 15,000 people, and, of course, to visit with the boss, David Rockefeller. You need to get this information. It's readily available in the DVD, The World Revolution. So we hope you'll want to get the material that's available from Radio Liberty. Please go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can pull down our newsletters and copy them and read them. You listen to our radio programs 9 hours a day if you want to, 4 hours live, the archive programs, the MP3 programs. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our video section and watch our videos, and specifically go to the other videos and pull down the videos on Building 7 and watch Building 7 come down, a classic controlled demolition. That was the building that came down at 5:20 on September 11, 2001. How could that have been a controlled demolition?
Have you ever suffered from Giardia, food poisoning, heavy metal poisoning, arthritis, fatigue, or high cholesterol? Maybe you're one of the 75 million Americans that the Center for Disease Control reports as suffering from internal parasites. If so, Freshwater Organics is proud to introduce you to a million-year-old miracle that has been used all over the world by health-conscious individuals seeking alternatives to chemicals and drugs. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, is a 100% natural, organic product with absolutely no additives. When taken daily, it is an excellent source of...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Greg Moore. The signs continue to worsen despite expressions of optimism by President Bush and his administration. We have more from